This is Phil Lamar, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call the circle of trust. We are all connected in the great circle of life.
You know something, Bert?
What?
I think you and I are going in circles.
It feels like we're going in circles.
Circle is now complete. When I left you, I was but the learner. Now I am the master.
Because it's a circle.
Yeah, we heard about the circle.
Yes, we're familiar with shapes.
Hi, this is Greg.
This is Chuck.
And this is Dan, and we are Talking in Circles, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network, the podcast that is about to start the apocalypse, because today, inspired by the release of X-Men Apocalypse, we will be attempting to create our very own Four Horsemen by selecting characters from across the world of fiction and nonfiction and real life, so it should be fun to see who our deaths, pestilence, famine, and war are. But before we get to that, how's things been going for you guys?
Extremely boring.
I have
not really had anything happen this week. The only thing I could bring up is maybe excessive complaints about bad drivers. I swear it's been like a full moon for like the last week or something. There's so many idiots out there. Like, no one uses blinkers anymore. People are cutting each other off. And I got, oh my gosh, I had to flip off a truck driver because he flipped me off.
You got to reciprocate. I mean, you can't let that go.
You can't let your pride get stomped on. So I don't get into like road rage or anything, but I'd rather like just kind of, you know, move along and not cause a scene. But it's just frustrating when people like legitimately put your life in jeopardy because they're doing something stupid, especially on a highway going like 70 miles an hour. So
yeah,
well, that's always discouraging, but drive extremely defensively and expect people to do stupid things, and then you're not surprised, so you're a lot safer.
The theme of today's podcast: have little faith in the humanity as possible, and you will
only
be mildly disappointed.
Just be prepared for every possible eventuality, like Batman, and just cut you off, and that guy's gonna pull out in front of you, and you'll be okay.
exactly. Greg, how are things going with you?
Things are all right. Nothing really big to report. I got tickets to go to Boston Comic Con, which I'm really excited about. I'm so excited that it's like months away from the actual con, and I've started trying to arrange which comics I want to get signed and everything. So I have a lot of long boxes in my room at this point that I'm going through. And then I've got a whole bunch of comics for each creator. And then I'm going to have to dwindle those down to a couple because I don't like being a giant douchebag and holding everybody else up with this giant stack of comics that the artist or writer has to sign like a billion of them a piece and get hand cramps and whatever. I think that's just rude. So I try and dwindle it down.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, hey, how's it doing? Here are 50 comics, and if you can personalize each one and give me a little bit of a sketch on it too, and I'm not going to give you anything, just going to stare at you awkwardly until you do it. So.
Yep, and then ask awkward questions and just be – I just think that's a pain, and I try and dwindle it down.
So what's it like to be a good drawer?
what type of pen do you use? What kind of brush pen do you use?
What do you think about when you're sleeping? It's like, what? Sorry.
who would win in a fight?
Where do your parents live? I've been there.
Or the Joker? Don't bring that up, Dan. I embarrassed myself. I'm just kidding.
I do struggle to find stuff to say.
Oh,
though,
I do too.
To be
honest,
like I try to come up with creative things and nice things, but
yeah. The best to talk to, I was talking to Amanda Connor at the Baltimore Con, and she was just delightful to talk to.
Yeah, some people make it much easier than others. Other ones, it's like, I was meeting the people from,
Comic Book Man. It was just super awkward.
Yeah, the main guy from that is completely awkward. I forget his name at this point, but he's always completely awkward.
I was getting something signed. I had Giants shirt on or something. He's like, oh, Giants fan, nice. I'm like, oh, you a fan too? He's like, nope. And that's where the conversation ended. It was like right there. I'm like, all right.
Thanks for nothing.
Great. That was awesome.
Yeah, he's very awkward. I think I saw him as I was walking through one of the aisles at Baltimore Con. I looked at him in the face and I'm like, I know you from somewhere. I'm going in my head. And he's looking at me like the fear on his face. He's like, please don't say anything. No.
I'm actually kind of happy we're able to do this podcast because power was out in my neighborhood for some reason. Apparently, power doesn't like it when it's actually sunny outside. And, you know, we've had awful storms every day this week and nothing, but one day of sunshine and no power. So that's great. Just kind of make you realize, though, how reliant you are on power, because it's like, okay, let me think of things I can get done. I'll go do the laundry. Wait, no, can't do that. I'll vacuum. No. Oh, wait, I'll do work because my computer has battery. But it's like, no, I can't do that because I don't have internet connection. It's just all these things that it's like, man.
Read a comic.
I could read a comic. But yeah. But we came back, so luckily we're here today. And I also wanted to, should have done this a long time ago, but while we have time, I wanted to thank some. We had some iTunes reviews. That some new ones and some old ones. Unfortunately, we had a lot that disappeared. Something happened with iTunes, and if you wrote an iTunes review previously, you may want to go back and try to do it again. For some reason, we lost a bunch of them. Anything before October of last year has disappeared, but we do have a couple of new ones and one old one I wanted to get to. So while we have some time, I thank those people for taking out their effort in writing it. And they're all great. So we're all 5 stars. So I guess we're a perfect podcast. But the first one is from Boss Dog. This is old. I barely go on iTunes, so I didn't really know it until recently. But it says, this show is a must download for anyone who enjoys geek topics. Dan and the crew bring fun style and topics to their various games and inventive ideas. Also, the fact that these three are friends helps the dynamic of the show or the environment, helps the show in general positive environment. Could not recommend more. Thank you very much for that. Also, Radical Watcher, 5 stars again. We are just on fire. Really enjoy the podcast. Fun show. If you like geek stuff and comics and movies, hosts are great and have awesome chemistry. So two things about chemistry. I guess, guys, we do have
great chemistry. It's so romantic. We're going to have a three-way later. Oh, yeah.
Greg, we've said no so many times.
I just need both of you.
Whispering Greg is still creepy. It still bothers me.
Bodies. Whispering. Oh, it's going to feel so good, you guys. Get some oils, different scented oils, and just rub it right in.
Last, so we can get off of this as quickly as possible, CW Murphy 9 left a 5-star review. I'm just going to keep going because the more I stop, the more he does it. I listen to GCR podcasts, and this is one of their best.
Don't stop.
Great discussion and a variety of topics. One, the few shows that I honestly have no clue what will be coming next episode. That's because we have no clue either.
You don't know what's coming next, sir.
Oh, God.
Adam.
Oh, that is so wrong.
It's going to be me coming next. We should do this every week where I do the sexy voice when Dan does our 5-star reviews.
It's not a sexy voice, Greg. It's a stalker, creepy voice. It's like the
keep
voice.
Keep sending comments if you want to hear this voice. I'll comment on your comments in this voice. It'll be so hot, you guys.
It sounds like the Zodiac Killer, but more creepy. But besides that, oh man, I officially creeped out for the rest of the night. So there we go. But so thank you again for everyone who spent the time and do that. I did want to thank those. That was awesome. But one thing I did want to talk about too, I did have the opportunity to read some comics. One I wanted to pick up specifically, it's a comic, you know, the world's talking about. And it's Captain America, Steve Rogers, #1. And what's interesting about this is that Greg and Chuck at this point don't know the major twist that occurred in this comic. So you're going to hear their real-life reaction to it. I know a lot of comic book fans do because it was spoiled all over the place. Even freaking Facebook Trending Topics had it like right there for some reason. But so Captain America, Steve Rogers, #1. I don't know how familiar you are with what's been going on with Steve Rogers lately, but the last 2 years he's been an old man because, the super soldier serum is basically worn off. But after the...
I kind of knew that. That's yeah. about how far I'm updated on it.
Well, after the events of the Pleasant Hill? Is that, I forget what it's called.
I just bought the Omega one, and I kind of got wrapped up with that, how he got his powers back. But I think it's Pleasant Hill.
Yeah. So after they had a kind of recent crossover event. It wasn't as big. It wasn't one of their huge events, but it was Pleasant Hill. And long story short, Cap gets his powers back due to the Cosmic Cube. So it restores him back to his normal form. Then he becomes Captain America again, but him and Sam Wilson are actually sharing the title. So both are Captain America at this point. So I guess we have two Captain Americas, and he has a new shield that looks like his classic shield from his origin with its triangle. And his new uniform, which looks like kind of like the Ultimate version, but not quite. I really don't like the new uniform. It looks, I don't know, it looks cheesy and it looks all kinds of wrong. Just the color scheme of it seems off to me. But the story centers on this new relaunch of Steve Rogers and setting up the new status quo for him. And he's back helping out S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent 13, Sharon Carter, is the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. now, or becoming the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I don't know how, but she's old now. So she's older and Steve Rogers is young, but they're still kind of getting things done. So Rogers is rocking the cradle, I guess, you know, or I guess not the cradle, but...
Rocking the wheelchair.
In this, what you also see happening is that Hydra is coming back, but in a new form. Red Skull is, in a way, leading a new Hydra movement, underground movement, where he is. It's almost becoming a, I'm going to say, political party in some essence, where we see him giving speeches and rallying troops and trying to get basically people to. Follow the cause of Hydra to become terrorists. So it's in a lot of the rhetoric you would hear and very much in kind of the political climate that we're in. So you could see a lot in what he's saying, and he's becoming like this figure in that end. And during this one event, he's led, it also follows this another story of a character who was trying to, it's just this normal guy who, and you follow that he gets caught up in Hydra, but he was a former drug addict. He came back out of jail and he couldn't find a job, but he gets involved in Hydra and he is going to basically become becoming a terrorist and going to blow himself up on this train. But Steve Rogers comes to try to save the day and is successful in doing so. Also within this is Zemo. He's taking part within this comic. He's him and there appears to be possible power struggle going on with Red Skull trying to take over Hydra and Helmet Zemo trying to take over Hydra. And at the end, Captain America is trying to stop Helmet Zemo from escaping with this doctor that was a part of Pleasant Hill. And as Captain America is saving him, he's basically going to get killed. But at that moment in time, Jack Flagg, who is helping him, he's now part of Captain America's team, saves Steve Rogers. They let him go, and they're about to take in this doctor. But then this is when the major twist happens. So if you've not read this, I'd skip ahead maybe 5 minutes or so. Again, most people probably heard this twist already. Steve Rogers turns on Jack Flagg, appears to at least, throws him out of this helicopter ship that they're in, and utters the words, "Hail Hydra." And I didn't mention it, but within this story, there's also a flashback story with Steve Rogers as a child and his mother, and his mother is getting beat up by his father. This lady steps in and saves her, and they have this, they're kind of talking throughout this, and, you know, she's learning about this lady, learning about sticking up for himself, because his mother at that time was basically being abused. And at the end, you find out this lady that's been helping Steve Rogers' mom was part of Hydra too, because they're going to go to this rally similar to the one that Red Skull was holding, where it was all about Hydra. So the indication is that this entire time in the history of Captain America's being Captain America, he was secretly a Hydra agent, is what people are assuming or suggesting. This is what this means.
They're going to have to do a lot of work to link all that together to make sense, I think. That's the author of that one has kind of put himself in a hard position here.
Yeah, he's really behind the eight ball there. I mean, Look at all the time he spent fighting them and hating them, and like that doesn't even really make sense to me. I don't know.
It doesn't, and people are freaking out. Like, I mean, freaking out over the place. I've read so many articles of people saying that Tom Beauvoir, I forget how you say his name, but the Marvel editor who's behind this, and Nick Spencer, the writer, are trying to capitalize on the Holocaust somehow. That I found was kind of, they're getting death threats, and they're saying it's ruining the character. I think this is a dumb choice, to be honest with you. It's, to me, everything I dislike about Marvel at the moment in time, where they tend to make choices that will gain attention but make little sense, and then quickly reverse it and go back to normal. Like, you think about Doc. Well, some of them work out. Like, Doc Ock as Spider-Man was kind of weird, but actually ended up leading to a really great comic. Spider-Man Unmasking lasted like a week and a half, and then that was all done. Captain America being old, that lasted for 2 years and was undone. Captain America dying, that lasted for a year or so, and then the movie came out, so he came back. So I also think there is indication within this comic that things are being kind of messed with. As mentioned previously, this is coming off the heels of Steve Rogers becoming Steve Rogers after using the Cosmic Cube, and something tells me there's something afoot there. Something going on. Because if you look at the history of Hydra within comics, it started by Baron von Strucker during World War II after he got kicked out of the Nazis by Hitler. And he kind of went to Japan and helped create this force. I think because of maybe Captain America First Avenger, people think that Hydra and Nazis were like tied together, but they really weren't. It was much more born out of Japan based upon the history of comics. It actually didn't come and didn't exist when Captain America was first invented. It was invented by Stan Lee in the 60s. So people, like, I think, are thinking this means Captain America's a Nazi. They're not the same thing. Hydra and Nazis are different. They're both awful people. You know, ones were real, but Hydra is not necessarily the same thing as being a Nazi. But considering that, the fact that his mom is going to a Hydra rally when he was a kid, that rewrites that history of Hydra. So it might, to me, it seems like this is going to be some master plan of something where they're messing with time or messing with reality to try to get to Steve Rogers in this way, and it'll end up being undone or something like that, where they fix it all. Because if it's already saying that things have changed, I know things are retcons, so maybe Hydra always existed or something like that. But it, to me, there's an indication here that something is afoot. Like, I don't necessarily, I think in this story, yes, Steve Rogers, quote unquote, was always a Hydra agent, but I think it's because things are being messed with. That's my personal thought on it. I know Marvel's come out and said, no, it is what it appears to be, that this is what it means, that he's always been this way. I don't buy that for a second, because if Marvel came out and said, no, it's just for this storyline, it'll be undone, or it would remove the entire stakes, it would remove all the interest, it would make it pointless. So I don't buy it, but I'm just curious what you guys think of all that, you know, considering what that means for Cap, especially you, Chuck, being a huge Cap fan.
Well, I mean, I don't buy it either, because it's like when Cap died, they're like, yes, he's really dead, it's not a fake or anything, like, and that, you know, we all know how long that lasted, but I don't know. It's, I guess, in a way, this is sort of why I've lost respect for Marvel in the last, like, I don't know, maybe 5 to 7 years or so, because they pull stunts like this, like you were talking about, Dan, and they do things for attention, but it doesn't appear to be really well thought out. Like, if it was something attention grabbing, but it made sense and it really helped to move the comics forward and the company forward, then it would make sense. But things like this, like, aggravate me. And I think it doesn't make any sense right now. And in order to make it make sense, it's not just going to be like a quick wave of the wand. Like, this is going to take dozens and dozens and maybe hundreds of issues to, like, go back through and explain everything he's done in the last 70 years or 50 years, whatever, since he came out of the ice. And it's like, how do you retcon all that stuff? Like, how do you make it so that the times when he was fighting Hydra and foiling their plans and causing them great distress by foiling their plans and really setting them backwards, making them take backward steps, by doing these things. How do you explain that away as he was for them and he was helping them? Like, it just doesn't make sense to me, and I don't see any way that it could be made to make sense. I mean, I guess I could be proven wrong, but it just seems kind of silly. Like, you're changing the very core of a character instead of presenting him with a new problem or situation, and it's just, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. I think it's just kind of stupid overall.
The thing I kind of thought about it was like almost like a wrestling storyline, in the sense of, okay, so they have Sam Wilson as Cap. He's not going over as much as they would like him to. He's not catching on. So let's bring back the person that was once on top, the champion or what have you. But they'll bring him back, but in order to gain some heat, they'll turn him evil, and then that new guy will be the only person that stop him. So what you'll have is, you know, Steve Rogers being the bad guy and Sam Wilson come in to try to capitalize on that, to gain into popularity, to then become the Captain America that, you know, we know and love. I don't know if that's what they're planning. I think there is potential here to tell a good story. Like, I don't want to overreact to one issue and one because legitimately it's like one panel at the end and we don't know what it could possibly mean or go for. On face value, it does seem silly, is like the word that comes to my mind, and unnecessary. And like you mentioned, Chuck, it's just like Marvel, Joe Quesada, and like this has kind of been their MO for a while. Let's just do something crazy, get attention, even if it doesn't make sense completely or lead to great stories. And I think a lot of times their writers have taken crap and made greatness out of it. Like I mentioned with Spectacular Spider-Man or Superior Spider-Man, that ended up working out really well. So it's, you know, there could be something here. I haven't really loved Nick Spencer's Sam Wilson's Captain America. I stopped reading it. Something wasn't connecting. I love his Ant-Man, like his Astonishing Ant-Man or whatever adjective there is for his Ant-Man. It's been great, but for some reason it just not worked with Cap. So I'm going to give it a couple more issues, see where the story goes, what they're actually trying to do here, but I don't know. It's. I'm pretty sure in a year or two, it's going to be Steve Rogers being Steve Rogers, if not even shorter than that. So,
yeah. I mean, to me, I will say one thing. The Cosmic Cube aspect of it intrigues me because there's a lot of power in that thing, and there could be mind-altering effects. There could be all sorts of things that, you know, make him believe that he feels this way, but he's not. And so there's always that sort of loophole, I guess, they can try to exploit. But to me, though, just the timing of it seems ridiculous, because you just came out with a blockbuster movie, Captain America Civil War. It's probably over $1 billion already, I think. And it just seems like, why do you need to go out and grab headlines with your comics when your movies are like free advertising, basically? And they're just bringing in hordes of people at this point. And it just doesn't make sense to me to do it. Like, I could see if you're in a slump, you know, comics aren't selling, things aren't looking good, maybe you do something drastic just to try to save face or do something. But, I mean, to do it now, I really don't understand that at all.
Yeah, it's weird. It's actually, I think Chris Evans came out and was critical of the change. I don't have his exact words, but it's.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, he's like. It does.
He's made that character his own.
Yeah, I know. I think the movies have shown that, like, you can make that character into something. And I think I forget who wrote it, and I'll see if I can find it and put it in the show notes, but there was an article about why Marvel won't let Captain America be Captain America. And it reminds me of almost, like, the way that Zack Snyder can't do Superman right. It's almost the way that Marvel's handling Steve Rogers as of late. Like, ever since Ed Brubaker left the character, they just haven't found a way to, I think, represent him in a way that isn't drastically changing him or making him someone else. So I don't know.
But I'm curious to hear Greg's thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think it's some kind of like mind thing. I liked a lot of the synopsises and ideas and theories that you guys came up with here that are kind of interesting, but yeah. I feel like it's just gonna last a couple issues, and it's some kind of thing to kind of get into Hydra and take it down from the inside out. Maybe it doesn't sound like my favorite idea ever, but it sounds like they're having trouble figuring out what the character's all about and everything at this point. And maybe they think it's as far as they've gone with it and don't know what to do with it, really. I don't know. I think they have a good example of what to do with them in the movies with Chris Evans and everything. So it just sounds weird. It's kind of like what they're doing with Vision. It's like they're doing all these weird things that I'm not sure it's really working. I've been kind of moving towards DC and Image a lot more lately with a lot of stuff out there at this point. So,
see, I actually love what they're doing. I love the Vision comic. It is odd, but I've really enjoyed it. It's almost like a pseudo horror movie in a way. You know, I know they have like Civil War II starting. I haven't read any of that, so I don't know.
I read the issue, I think it was Zero of Civil War. Nothing really exciting coming out of it right now, but we'll see where it goes. And of course, it's written by Bendis, so I'm kind of a skewed bias towards the negative anyway. I'm sure it'll start out great here, and so far it's just kind of meh, but I'm sure it'll start out great and then just pan out into a big battle scene with that means nothing.
Yeah, it's kind of funny though, because I know they announced this number one issue, like this cover, and they released it like during an ABC special celebrating Captain America, and then this ends up being the way it is. So it's kind of funny though.
He's probably getting a lot of attention just because of how many fans he's gained through the movies. Yeah. I've been at Comics on the Green, our local comic shop, and then at the Captain America Civil War, and he's gotten a lot of fans on his side and everything, and especially ladies. I've noticed a lot of women getting into the comics because of Chris Evans' portrayal, probably mostly his body.
After that moment of him holding the helicopter back with his biceps, how could they not be?
I mean, yeah. So, like, I think maybe, yeah, I think you're your use of wrestling as kind of a comparison strikes accurate, that they're trying to take it a different direction because he's built up all this good stuff, good morale. Now he's trying to switch it and come back the other direction so he could come back and redo it all again. So I think that was a good comparison.
Yeah, yeah. It's
let me just segue into our next segment by saying Captain America becoming Hydra is enough to bring on the apocalypse, apparently.
It is. And maybe he'll be selected by one of us as we try to create our own Four Horsemen. Where we'll get to that in just a bit after this quick break.
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Wreck, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and GeekCastRadio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
All right, and welcome back. And today, yes, we are going to be trying to create our own Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. As everyone knows, the Apocalypse character, he always comes with Four Horsemen. And if you look at the comic book history, they've been a variety of different characters. Everyone from Hulk to Wolverine to Gambit to Polaris. A lot of different characters have been Sentry, have been Four Horsemen of different kinds. And for those that don't know, there are four specific horsemen, four roles, really. You have Famine, Pestilence, War, and then usually considered the leader, I would say, or at least the head of all the horsemen, Death. Where, of course, if you know Archangel, he was the first Four Horsemen of Death, and then there's been more. I think Wolverine was Death too, or I forget who was which, but
yeah, I think so.
He was Death, yeah.
Yeah, and Gambit was too. So there's been a lot of people.
Wolverine is usually sort of the leader, kind of too.
Yeah, Wolverine, I think, has been Death and War.
Yeah, he is. That sounds like something Wolverine would do.
So, what is it good for?
Absolutely nothing. Yeah. So we're going to treat this kind of like, if you listen to any of our past draft episodes, where basically we'll go around the group, and if one selects a character, no one else can select it. We're going to try to create the ultimate Four Horsemen. We'll give explanations to why we chose each character, and maybe I'll throw a poll up at geekcastradio.com where you can vote and let us know who you think has the most elite group of Four Horsemen and who you think would be the most effective in bringing on the apocalypse. So let's see, Greg, maybe we can start with you, go to Chuck, and end with me. Well, I just have this list. I don't know what order. Maybe we can start with Famine. And what
famine was my favorite category, by the way.
It was, yeah. It makes me
is
hungry.
That because you're dieting?
No, I did think about putting Tony Horton on there, though. But yeah, I don't know. I just felt like it was the one where I got the most interesting characters from, the most favorite characters. Where I'm like, do I choose this one? Do I choose that one? I don't know. But for Famine, I think I'm going to go with a character that you both really don't know. Comes from the Doctor Who universe. And when we see them in the Doctor Who universe, it's like multiple. It's like an army of this kind of character. But I'm going with Adipose, which is on Doctor Who. It's a great episode. It's one of my favorites. A drug comes out, a weight loss drug. People start taking it, and it's in the trial testing and everything, and people start losing weight drastically overnight, where they're looking much better than they were before and everything. And then you come to discover it's this alien race that's having trouble having babies and everything. So they're having the babies by giving humans these pills, and the babies come from the humans' fat. And so they're losing weight overnight because these little adipose babies are coming out of them as these little babies. So it's like human fat that comes off the person. And so they kind of dwindle down and die from all these little fat adipose babies coming off them and everything. So I just thought that would make a great famine of these people that are huge and just getting skinny overnight. And these adipose are coming out of them. I think it's just a great image for famine. I don't think it's necessarily would be a classic famine in respect to kind of like X-Men characters and Apocalypse. But I think that would make a great famine of people just getting skinnier, and adipose is famine just amassing this giant army of himself through this. So I think that's kind of a neat concept. And they're like these cute little like baby Stay Puft Marshmallow men. So I think it would be a great opposite approach to how they usually portray famine characters that are famine in the X-Men comics, where they're always like these skinny, like you touch them and they look like they're crumble. It's this cute little fat white little blob. So I think that'd be a neat way to go with it.
Yeah. Interesting. That's cool. Yeah, I don't know what that is. Like you said, adipose. It sounds very morbid and creepy, so that sounds like it would go
I will send you both a text of what it is.
Awesome.
While we go over the next couple.
Maybe... Yay, more creepy texts from Greg.
It's going to be in really tiny lettering, so it sounds like his whispering voice. Chuck, what about you? Who are you selecting for Famine?
My choice for Famine, let's see, very clear. To me, I think the best choice would be Nicole Richie. It was between her and Calista Flockhart, but I think since seeing her on Supergirl, she's not quite as bad as she... No. I'm kidding, of course. That would be probably a good choice, but I think I'm acting with a character from DC Comics by the name of Parasite, and he's a really cool character, and the reason I chose him is because... You know, obviously he has the ability to temporarily absorb sort of like life energy, superpowers, and even knowledge from anyone that he touches. And he could even do it to Superman, and he weakens Superman on a regular basis whenever he fights him and everything. So he's a pretty formidable character already. And I think with, you know, Apocalypse's reputation of enhancing people's abilities, I think that would be a really interesting dynamic to have a Parasite in there, since it sort of is like the very essence of Famine. He's sort of draining the energy from whoever he touches, and you know, maybe Apocalypse could sort of enhance him so that he wouldn't even need to touch them, he could just be near them or something like that. So I thought that was interesting, and I always thought he was a cool character because he's one of the few characters that like Superman had a tough time with. Like, he had to make sure he keep his distance from him and everything like that. So that's the reason I picked him.
Nice. That's perfect. That does seem to fit very, very well into the Famine category. So when I chose mine, what I was thinking of with usually Famine, when you think of it in the sense of it's going after resources in some way. Usually a famine is often very related to crops. And so we're thinking, well, what type of character does that, what type affect that? Like, what character kind of falls in line with that idea? And actually, interesting enough, the one that came to my mind was Poison Ivy as famine.
Good miniseries with her in it.
Yeah, I've read the first issue of that. I haven't finished it, though, but
It's really good so far.
Obviously,
highly recommend.
Her as a character, usually it's the opposite of famine, where she's, you know, it luscious greens and she's creating it, but she has the power to take it away too. And a lot of times, what with Apocalypse, he would augment powers and twist and mess with them in some way. And I feel like Poison Ivy, you could do that in the sense of using her control over plants to make her the perfect character for famine. So I thought, you know, that would work, because she can create massive damage and take out your resources. Because if you're thinking of Apocalypse, if you have someone that can accuse and hurt the food supply, that's going to really affect the effect that people are going after. So I figured she would be a good role and a good person to have there.
Very nice.
So we have our famine. I think next comes Pestilence, which, looking at some of the characters that have been Pestilence in the comics, this is where, you know, Polaris has been Plague, Caliban. You know, they're basically people that invade, causing destruction and death from the inside out, similar to that of famine, I guess. But usually some sort of disease often is related with this. So, Greg, considering that, who are you going with for your character when it comes to Pestilence?
For Pestilence was my hardest category, really, to pick out a character. And I'm not even sure I really like the character that I'm going to go with, but I think it's a funny choice with how what comic, quote-unquote, it's coming from, because it's coming from a comic strip. I am going with a character from Peanuts.
Nice.
Charlie Brown cartoon strip. Which, you, if just mentioning that, you probably figured out who it is. I'm going with Pigpen, the kid who's always got this giant dirt cloud around him. And I just think it would make a funny addition to it. It was one of the first characters that came to mind when Dan came up with this idea. I don't know why it came to me. It's just kind of amusing to me to see one of the Charlie Brown kids come in and be Pestilence, so I thought it would That's add a little funny. Humor to it. So
you're gonna have the cutest apocalypse in the history of the world.
I am. I wish my other two were gonna be as cute, but I don't think they are going to be.
Well, I can see where Lucy could start a war by, you know, pulling out the football in front of Charlie Brown.
It's always been a giant dick move in my mind whenever she does that. I feel so bad for Charlie Brown.
Off to throw down right there. That could be war. So. Yeah. That's funny, Greg.
Nice.
Thank you.
So I know, Chuck, you're probably going to pick Pigpen, so he's off the board for you. But for you, who are you going for Pestilence?
I'm going with a character that's, it might seem a little bit odd. I guess, well, he sort of makes sense. He wasn't the first character I thought of, to be honest. I thought of a couple other choices, like some obvious ones and stuff like that. But this one was a little less obvious for some reason, because it's a character that not technically can't like spread a disease per se, but like it's sort of something that would make you extremely ill. And this is a character from Marvel, and it's a character I've always been pretty intrigued with. It's a Radioactive Man.
And you don't see much of him lately.
Yeah. And I think it's like, it's fascinating because like, obviously, like, radiation can cause, like, intense, like, sickness. And, you know, you hear about acute radiation poisoning and things like that. And, you know, with his power and even Apocalypse augmenting that, I think, like, it would just be enough to send this huge plague of illness over this vast area due to his radioactivity and just this intense radiation emanating off of him and affecting everyone and everything around him and stuff like that. So when he popped into my head, I'm like, yeah, that's like, it just seems like it works for me for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah. That's, I remember he was in Thunderbolts for a little bit when I read that.
Yeah. That was the last time I seen or heard anything from him was from Thunderbolts.
Dude, I do like that choice. That was a good choice.
I mean, back in the day, he was in the Masters of Evil and stuff like that, but I think he was a pretty fairly major part of that team when Zemo had the Masters of Evil, but
yeah, yeah.
That was way back though.
I mean, that makes sense. I guess I went a different way. I know pestilence is usually some sort of disease, and I was thinking too, like, but I was more thinking beyond that too when it came to my horsemen. I was like, I want to be able to, if this is the goal, is to destroy the world, I want to be able to kind of hit in every area possible. So also thought, when I thought about this, is about draining injury, taking life out of people. So for some reason, magic came to my mind, like, because I think magic can kind of do that. And the first people that kind of came to my mind were the Dementors from Harry Potter. Because
I had that for famine.
Really? Yeah. I could see them either. But I figured, well, if I'm going to go with the Dementors, why not go one step further with it and go the person I think created them or somehow was their master with Voldemort? Again, it hits me with the magic area.
I think they were just prison guards. I don't think they were created by Voldemort. I think they were just kind of prison guards, essentially.
I thought they were originally like his, somehow related to him. I don't know. Harry Potter fans are going crazy. But anyways.
Did you read the books, though?
I read the first 2.5 books. So
So you might know more than me, because I didn't read the books at all. So you might have that inside information, because I heard they were a little bit more detailed than the movies.
I know, I could be wrong. I should have looked it up. But I'm going with Voldemort because, again, yeah, he doesn't, like, you guys probably hit it more on the head were characters that would physically get someone's immune system. I feel like he'd be able to do that in a sense, though, but in more through magic. And, you know, you have the Death Eaters, you have kind of that fear he would spread. So he did affect people in that way. So, if you're taking over the world, you need someone there, I feel, that's going to also. Magic can be like the one weakness that maybe Apocalypse can't get around, but if you have a character that has that, you should be good. Even though there's that meme of like it shows you all these different characters like Darth Vader taking over the galaxy and guy from Lord of the Rings conquering Middle Earth, and then it's like, you know, Voldemort couldn't take over a school, so he maybe not have been effective on that end, but I do think he's a great character, and he's a pretty powerful wizard, so I'm going to go with him with Pestilence. Doesn't work perfectly, but I kind of like it personally.
Yeah, I know nothing about Harry Potter, so I can't comment too much.
I actually had Voldemort on my extensively long list for death, actually.
Interesting. Yeah, I figured he can go for different areas, so I will take him now then, I guess. So next comes, you have the famine that takes out the resources. Then comes the disease with pestilence. Next, usually what happens is war. And like we said, what is it a good for? In this case, this game in the apocalypse. So Greg, you know, other characters that have been war, like we mentioned Wolverine. Also the Hulk was war in the comics. And I believe, who else was war? I think Sentry was war too. When I forget, I don't know if they have ever named them in the most recent version. It was the Apocalypse Kids, but anyways. So who are you going with your choice for your Horsemen of War?
For war, I'm going with a guy that I really enjoy as a character. Not that I don't enjoy these others that I've chosen so far as characters, but one of my favorite villains from the Marvel Universe is actually Taskmaster, who I think would make a great war because he just analyzes everybody's techniques and can use them against the person he's fighting. So yes. I think that makes him a great tactician. Thank you. Thank
you. Statistician is something completely different. It'd be like the IRS as a
yeah. Tactician. Thank you, Chuck. I think he would make a great tactician because he would kind of easily learn other people's methods and then use it against them.
Nice.
And plus, he's just a cool looking character. He's kind of a weird costume, but I really enjoy it. And I really enjoy that miniseries that came out not that long ago. I think it was at least a couple years ago about him and his mind castle and everything. So I thought that was kind of cool. And I think he's a character that needs to be used more. I just love him as a villain.
Yeah, Taskmaster is awesome. That's a really, really cool character.
I wish I could have got that Funko Pop Taskmaster that was at Walgreens, but it seems like our Walgreens never has the exclusive Funko Pops. So
would you go with, like, which costume would you go with, the classic one or like the newer one?
The only one I've really seen is, I think, the classic one. I'm not
There's
sure.
There's like a newer one where he has like armor and stuff, and
I think
he doesn't have the cape anymore.
I think I've only really seen him in the classic uniform, to be quite honest. I don't think I've ever really seen him in this newer updated one that you're talking about.
I do like the classic one. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking off air. Like, it'd be great to see him in some in the movie somehow. Like, I think he'd be great in Deadpool because you could actually put him in the full costume and it would not seem too ridiculous. But I don't know who would have the rights to him because he's, I guess, technically Avengers villain, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, I don't know.
Here, I'll send you another picture, Chuck, of the Taskmaster outfit, and it actually looks really great in this this drawing, so I'll send this to you.
Okay.
All right, Chuck, moving on over to you as well. Who are you going to be picking for your character, for your War Horseman?
Let's see, my representative, my embodiment of war, I'm going to go with Cheer Bear from the Care Bears.
You're trying to compete with Greg for the cutest Four Horsemen.
No, I can't do that. I have to go with somebody that's more of a favorite of mine, I guess. I think I had a couple options here. I'm going to go with the one that I first thought of, and I'm going to go ahead and pick Sinestro from DC.
Ooh, and that's intriguing.
Yeah, and I think, like, he really is an intriguing character. Of course, like, he was once part of the Green Lantern Corps, sort of, like, has his own ideals about keeping peace, and he his whole ideal is that he wants to keep peace through fear instead of letting people have their own will. And so he sort of forms his own corps to oppose the Green Lanterns, the Sinestro Corps. And I'm sure you've all heard of the story, and it's this huge war, this all-out war that he wages against the Green Lanterns, spans, you know, across galaxies and all these sectors of space and everything. And he built this huge core with the most gruesome people he could find across the universe, the characters that best represented fear and would be perfect allies in his war against the Green Lanterns. Of course, Green Lantern's weakness being yellow, which the emotion depicted by the color yellow is fear. So he assembled his army, so to speak, with the people that would best fit this description, the people that could best help him win. And it really was quite masterful the way he assembled all these people. And he had some really powerful characters on his side, to be honest. And I just feel like he's an extremely, like, war-centered type of character. Like, he's always at war with something. He's always diametrically opposed to something. It's usually Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns, but sometimes it's his own people from his planet. Sometimes it's other characters that disagree with the way he leads and things like that. I know I think he had a pretty significant fight with Mongol and stuff like that. But he's just always involved in, like, huge, like, large-scale wars. Like, he usually doesn't get involved in, like, little petty scuffles and things like that. Like, when Sinestro gets involved, it's big. It's usually, like, galaxy-spanning. It's, like, you know, like you talk DC Comics as the sectors. Like, this spans, like, so many sectors of space. Like, this is a huge war guy, and he's great at building an army and really strategizing against his enemy perfectly. So I think he would be the perfect character to represent war.
That's interesting, because actually they're in DC Comics have been trying to, like, I think transition him into almost like anti-hero recently. There was the Sinestro Corps has been almost more heroic than that of the Green Lantern Corps, though I guess it's being redone with Rebirth. But yeah, again, I always thought he was just a generic one-dimensional character that's not Green Lantern, but the more you hear about them, the more I found out about him, he's quite interesting. So
yeah, definitely
very cool.
So he really is psychotic too.
yeah
The guy is out there,
that is for sure. So don't have to change much there. My character was also very psychotic, and you talk about characters being at war, and this, I guess you could say, this character was born or made, I guess, to be in war and just fighting his whole life. Character that is always craving power, not always winning, but more often than not. And I'm going to go with an old GCR classic favorite, because we do have our Transformers fans out there. And I'm going to go with Megatron as my choice for war. He is born to conquer, basically. That is his main goal, is to conquer Earth or whatever planet he's on. He's always searching for power. Also, you know, so far I have my character that can attack people via resources, natural resources. I have a character that can attack magic. Also wanted a character that could affect technology, and what better than a Transformer? In some way could affect and use that to his advantage. So, you know, legitimately, my war character at one point was Ben transforms into a gun and transforms into a tank and whatever thing he was in the movie, which was like a helicopter tank hybrid. So I think he makes a great choice for the War Horseman.
Very nice. I like that pick. He actually crossed my mind, too. I wasn't sure which category to put him in, because he kind of fit in into a couple of them, because, like, obviously he's like a leader with the Decepticons, so he might fit the bill of the death character. But also war, you could very easily throw him in there too. He's kind of like a field general. He actually, like, he's not afraid to get in on the battle and stuff like that. So
I mean, I guess my worry would be maybe he would try to undermine and take over and kill everyone that's on him and basically become Apocalypse himself. There is that concern, but I feel like that's always that concern when it comes to the Horsemen. You're dealing with people that aren't the nicest people in the world. So, all right. Well, we're getting down to the nitty gritty here. So, Greg, so far you have Adipose for your famine. You have Pigpen for pestilence. You have Taskmaster for war. So we have our famine, we have our disease, we then comes war, and then war eventually leads to death. So who is going to be your death horseman?
Woot woot, death.
I don't think that might be one of the few times that death got a woot woot.
It's gonna come from me, baby. I'm gonna go with a god himself to be death. I'm going to go with something ultimate and completely evil incarnate. I'm going to go with Cthulhu, the ancient evil, I don't know any of his nicknames, H.P. Lovecraft character, this god that's just huge, got squid face and tentacles and just looks awesome and just wants to destroy and kill. So I'm going to go with Cthulhu.
Man, that came out of left field. I didn't realize you were such an H.P. Lovecraft fan. That's intriguing.
I have an H.P. Lovecraft book here. I got partway through with it and didn't really read much afterwards. I only got so far with it. I like his the mythology behind it.
Yeah.
But his writing kind of leaves me a bit bored. Sorry.
Well, there you go. Well, yeah. So Cthulhu, that was a name I did not expect to hear today. But hey, it's always full of surprises. So Greg's four horsemen are set. Chuck, what about you? For your famine, you have Parasite. For your pestilence, you have Radioactive Man. For your war, you have Sinestro. Who is going to be leading them all? Who is going to be your Horseman of Death?
Well, I think my Horseman of Death is someone that embodies it so well, he actually has death right in his name. And I think I'm going to go with Deathstroke. And I think, I don't know, the reason being, the Horseman of Death under Apocalypse is usually sort of the leader of the four. He's usually the most powerful, not always, but in this case, I mean, I know Deathstroke is not the most powerful character ever. I know he is sort of a Captain America type power, like he has enhanced, superhuman strength and speed and endurance and all that stuff. But I think what really sets him apart is, like, he just has this, like, uncanny knack for hand-to-hand combat. He's a master martial artist, and he's extremely detailed tactician. He's great at manipulation and things like that. he's an expert in all weapons, and you know, any weapons that Apocalypse could equip him with, I'm sure he would master quickly and learn to use to their fullest. I mean, the guy uses, he's the only character I know of that uses 90% of his brain capacity, which is pretty impressive. And he actually has somewhat of a healing factor. So I think under Apocalypse, you know, all those things being enhanced, I think you'd be the perfect leader for the team. Just with the name of Deathstroke, like, how could you not go right with that? I mean, that's pretty awesome in and of itself. But you might be wondering why I didn't go Thanos here, probably.
I was wondering if anyone was going to go Thanos or Darkseid, so I was curious.
But I think the reason is I sort of, while doing this, I omitted any characters that I assumed were more powerful than Apocalypse.
Yeah.
So it, to me, it kind of ruled out things like that. I'm like, I don't really see Thanos working for being manipulated by Apocalypse, because I think he would just wipe the floor with him to begin with. But so things like that. But I think Deathstroke fits the bill perfectly and fits all those areas, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, I could see that, and I get what you're saying with a character that would be not as powerful as Apocalypse, and or being overly powerful than Apocalypse, and why that become problematic. I did not have that same rule. You'll tell with the person I chose. So far, you know, for Famine, I have myself Poison Ivy, then I have Voldemort, then Megatron for my Horseman of War and my Horseman of Death. I'm taking out people regarding their resources. I'm taking out magic. I'm attacking technology. And lastly, I just needed someone who was just a complete powerhouse, someone who could really keep all these people in line. And maybe, yes, this person is more powerful than Apocalypse, but maybe in the sense it'll just become these four horsemen and they'll take over Apocalypse. I don't know. But I'm going to go with, for my Horseman of Death, I'm going to go with Dark Phoenix.
Oh, wow.
Again, like you mentioned, she's probably more powerful, extremely powerful, maybe overly powerful, and maybe you wouldn't even need anyone else besides her. But also, though, she's a fragile mind, and we've seen people wield the power of Phoenix in some ways more effective than others, like Rachel Gray, to a lesser extent, even Scott Summers wielded it. And so it's possible to keep it under some control. So I'm going to go with a Dark Phoenix in the sense of really be that force that really just drives everything home when things can't get any worse, and then they do. So that's going to be my final Horseman of the Apocalypse.
Nice.
But yeah, so I think, and what we're saying here is we have all come up with ways basically to destroy the world, and I feel like they're very effective no matter which way we're going. So I don't know, I think anyone want to add or anything like that, or?
Did you guys have any like interesting backups that would have been really intriguing, that if you would have had to go to a backup, somebody that would be really give you like a wow factor?
I think, like I said, Famine was my favorite category. Some of my other ones are the current hot dog eating champion, the Blob, Galactus, Dementors, Garfield, or Jughead.
That's a nice random piece of characters. For Famine, yeah. I was thinking of possibly Ghost Rider.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, there you go.
So
I think he was a Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Was he? I try to stick away from ones I knew that were.
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember him in there, but I had a couple of interesting Famine ones. Two other ones I thought of. Dracula, possibly.
There was that Dracula Apocalypse, like Dracula versus Apocalypse miniseries.
That was a good little miniseries. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. So it could be the Marvel version. It could be the other older version from general pop culture. But and then the other one was Carnage. I thought would be cool because he kind of has like a life draining sort of power and stuff like that. So.
For Famine, I also thought, well, I had Voldemort. I thought, like I said, the Dementors or other magic characters. I couldn't really think of anyone else for Pestilence. I don't know if you guys had other ones for that category.
Pestilence was the toughest one, I think. The only other one I had was my brother came up with was Typhoid Mary, and he's not much of a comic person, so he wasn't thinking Marvel's Typhoid Mary. He was thinking the urban legend of Typhoid Mary.
Yeah, I thought of that. I thought of her as well, but I was thinking of the Marvel version. I thought Scarecrow maybe with the fear gas.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting one. Yeah, that's more psychological pestilence than physical.
A little bit of a reach, but it crossed my mind. But that was it.
Yeah, for war, I thought of possibly using Cobra Commander.
Nice.
That was one, and also thinking Nova. When he had like all of the power from the Nova Corps,
that was a good run on Nova. I enjoyed that one.
That was awesome.
Oh, for Famine, I also thought of Annihilus as well, since he kind of does that. So, any other ones for war for you guys?
War, I had Donald Trump, Hitler, Ronan the Accuser, Red Skull, and Zemo. Baron Zemo.
Interesting.
I had I thought Darth Vader would be a good candidate.
Oh, really? I had him in my death category.
Just because of, like, he spent, you know, what, 3 decades waging a intergalactic war, so yeah, I figured he would be an expert at it, so. And a couple of the random ones, nobody really that good, to be honest, but.
And lastly, for death, another one I thought of too was possibly Goku or Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z, because they're super powerful. But if you guys, I thought Superman, but
that'd be an interesting one. Yeah,
yeah. So
yeah, I thought of a couple that were would just be ridiculously adept at destruction and mass death and all that stuff, and I was thinking. Maybe Doomsday.
Ooh.
But I ultimately decided against it because he's not very smart, so he's just sort of a mindless beast, so to speak. But so I kind of went away from that. But I was also thinking, well, this one's kind of along the same lines, but from a totally different area, kind of out of left field, but I thought maybe Godzilla.
Ooh.
There you go. Oh, no, Godzilla!
Think about the destruction that he could cause, like, just... ridiculous amounts, not only but from his size, but his fire breath and all that stuff. But that was sort of like another radiation based character, and I kind of didn't want to do that since I already had Radioactive Man and everything. So,
actually, I posted this on Reddit too to see if they would get any responses, and I did get a few. 1,414, I guess there's a lot of Coles out there, had for death Black Hand, war Batman, pestilence Swamp Thing. And Famine, Lex Luthor.
I think another
interesting.
One, I think another good one would be a Dalek from Doctor Who. Oh. Exterminate.
True.
Swamp Thing's a good pull. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. Photon Commander 10 had for death Archangel. I don't know where they got that from. Pestilence, Elixir, War, Red Skull. The current one with Professor X powers, that would be pretty formidable. And Famine, which I think is an interesting choice, Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, that's
so.
Okay.
And someone put the Four Horsemen from the wrestling, Arn Anderson and Ric Flair. So there you could also choose those, I guess. So
nice.
A lot of great choices for how to end the world. That's true. Intriguing that we all chose. No one really chose a hero or anything like that. We all went pretty villains or. More anti-heroes at the most, so. But very cool. Alrighty. Well, we would like to hear what you would choose for your Four Horsemen or what you thought of our choices. Again, you can vote by going to geekcastradio.com. You can email us at feedback@geekcastradio, talkingincirclesatlive.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Just search Talking in Circles, GCRN. You guys are also on Twitter. What are your Twitter names?
I am at Heroic Age Chuck.
I am at The Create Forge.
And I am at Movie Revolt. But that'll be it for this week. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel, same podcast feed. But for now,
this has been Greg, or a very cute adipose sucking fat out of you.
and that sounds disturbing. And this has been Dan. We've been talking in circles. We'll see you next week. Adipose? That sounds, I don't know. I saw the photo. They look cuddly and cute. I want one.
Right? Don't you?
Yeah.
When you first said adipose, I was like, okay, you're a photographer. Is that what you say to the person when they get in the perfect pose? Adipose.
Not
that's what I thought, but I can't help
it. It's the name of the alien species, and they also used it as the name of the weight loss drug that they were opposing as.
They really kind weren't of. Trying to be covert with that at all, were they? It's just...
No.
Meanwhile, in 1940s Germany, the trio is stuck in what Greg thinks is a TARDIS.
Greg, stop blocking the door and just let us out.
Yeah, this is not a TARDIS.
I bet the inside is just disguised to look this way. Just look for a switch or a button or something. Doctor Who loves buttons.
Greg, we already searched this like 10 times already, and it's not like there's a lot of space to check. I don't think it's here.
It just looks like there isn't a lot of space is all. Here, watch. I'll just walk right over this way, and it'll expand out. Ow!
Come on, Dan. He's out of the way. We can get out now.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What is this shaking all about? Do they have earthquakes in Germany?
No, we're taking off into the time stream. I must hit the button.
I didn't watch much of Doctor Who, but at least I know the TARDIS makes a bunch of weird noises when it takes off.
We know that's just you.
I didn't make that noise. We landed. We're back home.
The door of the police box opens, revealing the dark silhouette of a figure standing in the way.
Doctor?
No, Professor. Professor McGuffin, actually. What are you three doing in there?
Professor McGuffin? What are you doing in 1940s Germany?
I work here, of course. Now, as I asked before, what are you three doing in here?
Greg thought this was a time machine.
Not yet. But soon it will be, if I have any say in it. We'll just load it onto the ship to take out to the sea to build it and conduct tests in the middle of nowhere, so no one gets hurt.
Guys, I think I figured something out. Just go with me on this. Do you think we can help you out with this project, Professor?
Well, you are going to have to, since you're all stowaways and we have just cast off. You must earn your keep.
3 weeks later.
Guys, we're back. The good old TARDIS did it.
Did what? I think the ship just crashed.
It did exactly what I expected. The time machine brought us and the ship back to the deserted island that we crashed on before. We just went through a time loop.
Well, what do we do now?
Podcast?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is Chuck. This is Greg. And this is Dan. And we are talking in circles on this week's episode, Mechanical Ass Kicking.
Ha 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 ha.